Thank you, Philippe. Thank you, Steve, for your presentation. We're now going to move into the second segment of this final session. And I just want to welcome, who's standing behind me, Dr. Ebad Jahangir, Mr. Curtis Holsclaw, and Mr. Larry Levitt. Welcome to this final session. Dr. Jahangir is now going to talk to us about the CO2 standard. Dr. Jahangir is the Environment Officer at the ICAO Secretariat. Goals, beg your pardon.
Thank you, Chris. I will be talking about goals. I'll leave the CO2 standard to Curtis. Before I start, I just wanted to just say one thing. Basically give my compliments to all of you for being a very dedicated audience. We are pushing almost 5 o'clock, and I think more than 90% of the people who are here in the morning are still here. I can see that, in the last hour I've been sitting here, I've been trying to count the number of people who are dozing off, and the best I could do was 3. So 3 people have been dozing off, and you know who you are. And you know, there must be a really good excuse for it too, jet lags and everything. This session is about pushing the technology envelope. And ICAO, as you all know, has been working for more than about 40 years now on environmental standards and recommended practices. About 8 or 9 years ago, we started working on setting some goals also for technology. So this is going to be a very high-level presentation. I'll try to keep it very short because I know we're running against clock limits, and Curtis and Larry have a lot of good stuff also. So I'll try to be as short as possible. So I'll just briefly talk about the ICAO goals for environment that you must remember from this morning, from first Mr. Dupuy, then Director Air Transport Bureau, and then Jane Hoope. Then I'll have a couple of charts on technology standards, just to give you the background, and then I'll talk about the process for technology and operational goals that ICAO has instituted. So this is the very high-level strategic objective for environment for the International Civil Aviation Organization, which is to minimize the adverse effect of global civil aviation on the environment. You're all really familiar with that. As a subset of that, we have laid out 3 environmental goals relating to noise, local air quality, and greenhouse gas emissions. And again, the Director of Air Transport Bureau talked about these 3 goals in our opening remarks this morning. So what do we do with these 3 goals? We try to quantify, and once we know what the trends are, then we try to mitigate the impacts. There was a lot of, in the earlier session on quantification, you saw really good information on trends assessment against ICAO goals. This was a trends assessment on how we are doing mostly on climate change, but then there was similar work done for noise and local air quality as well. I'm going to talk about most technology and operations, but then there's again, in terms of mitigation, there are other mechanisms that I will not be talking about, which are basically alternative fuels and market-based measures. So moving on to technology standards. Technology standards, the way the process works in ICAO is that standards are set based on what has already been accomplished in the field. So they're sort of looking back. They're based on established technology. Other than environment or sustainability, we have safety and security as the other two primary objectives in ICAO. So safety is paramount. And basing environmental standards on established technology has been a principle of ICAO for the last 30 or 40 years. And then looking forward, these standards apply to generally new designs, and then after they've been implemented on new designs, then they can be extended to, for example, other mechanisms like production cutoffs. So I'll just give two examples of NOC standards. We have the NOC standard, and then we have gone through, since the establishment of CAPE, Committee on Aviation Environmental Protection, four iterations on these standards. The last standard, CAPE 8, was established or was approved by CAPE just a few months ago in February of this year, and then it will go through its normal process and should be approved and adopted, formally adopted next year, which improves on the CAPE 6 standard by 15%. So overall, there has been significant progress, as you can see from this chart, in improving NOx technology standards. Then coming to noise standards, we have had several improvements. The latest standard, Chapter 4, became effective on 1st January 2006. And again, there's been marked improvement. And in this current CAPE cycle, which will start this year and will last until 2013, we will be undertaking a study on further assessment of further stringency scenarios that will be considered in the next CAPE meeting. So these are the two examples that I threw up. Other than that, we also have standards on CO, carbon monoxide, hydrocarbons, and smoke. And then there is also work ongoing on the CO2 standard that Curtis will be talking about in detail. And then we have also initiated work on the PM standard, which is particulate matter standard, which is becoming increasingly important, not just from the local air quality perspective, but also from the global climate change perspective. So with that short introduction to standards, I'll just move on to establishing goals. So goals are different than standards. Goals are by necessity looking forward, and they are based on the leading edge of technology. That is the guiding principle that we have. And goals cannot be equated to projections. Goals have to be something beyond projections. Projections would be simply trends that we see in the field, and we can project them or extrapolate them to the future. But goals have to be a little bit of a stretch in terms of for the industry to reach. So right now we have four types of goal setting exercises in progress. Or the first one was NOx reduction technologies. That process started in 2003-2004 timeframe, and the first set of goals was established in 2006, and then there was an update that was subsequently done in 2009. Noise reduction technologies followed, and the first set of goals was established in 2008, which was again recently approved. And then we have also instituted goal establishment exercises for fuel burn reduction and for operational initiatives. So we expect that the results of these goals exercises would be forthcoming this year, will be starting this year, and hopefully should be finalized over the next couple of years. So the way it's being done is that we have set up independent expert panels that have a broad representation, not just geographically, but also in terms of their expertise. We want to keep the number manageable, so they are typically 6 to 10 type of a number. But again, this is flexible and depends on the needs of the individual technology review. And then we want to make sure that these panels remain independent as much as possible. Aviation is a very small pool, small expertise pool to draw from. So independence, we want to make sure that this process is guided by independent experts and remains as independent of stakeholders as much as possible. And we want to ensure that all independent expert panels work from common assumptions. And this would be in terms of the baselines they choose, in terms of the aircraft categories that are chosen, and also in terms of the realization factors that Philippe briefly talked about in his presentation on how do we go from a given technology readiness level from development type of technologies to deployment types of technologies. So some further detail on technology and operations goal. So the idea is, again, stating the IQO principles again, we want to balance environmental benefit with technological feasibility, economic viability, and while not adversely impacting other environmental factors. So this interdependency thing, where one environmental factor can impact another environmental factor, is not so concrete when we talk about goals. Standards, since they're based on established technology, they can be relatively easily do a balance and a trade-off. For goals where technologies may not be at a maturity level of TRL 8 or 7 or above, some of these interdependencies are not clearly quantified early on. So that's where some of the subjectivity and some of the expertise by the panel will come in. And emphasizing the last point again, that trends, that goals are not projections, the idea is to provide stretch targets for the industry to aim at in cooperation with states. So these are not just purely extrapolations from what has happened in the past, but the idea is to provide some incentive and some something to reach at. And again, some of the principles are that we want, as much as possible, we want to use the same metric as certification to enable direct comparison. And technology goals should be based on the technologies that are currently not mature enough to be deployed, but then when they're mature enough, that's the time frame that we are looking at. So when the technology is mature, they can be deployed into the field. That's the goals that we are trying to set. And then in terms of leading edge of technology, the technology availability with at least one manufacturer and also technology availability specific to the seat class should be considered. Some of the technologies are not applicable to one seat class or the other, and we want to make sure that we get the leading edge of technology for each aircraft category from any manufacturer that can deploy it. So the result of the goals exercise, the first goals exercise that was completed was for NOx, and they set midterm and long-term goals, 10-year and 20-year goals. That was done in 2006. So for 2016, the goal was to be better than 45% below CAPE 6 standard, and 10 years from then, in 2026, to be better than 60% than the CAPE 6 standard. And as you saw, as you may remember from the earlier standards discussion, the recent CAPE 8 standard would be 15% below the CAPE 6 standard. So again, these are sort of stretch targets. The next exercise that was completed was for noise. This was recently completed, and it sets targets for four categories of aircraft for 2018 and 2028. And I'm not going to go through the numbers, but essentially, if you compare it to the state of the art of today's aircraft, we see that there's more room to grow in terms of technology improvement at the larger end of the aircraft than the smaller. That's because of technology limitations for smaller aircraft. We also have goals exercises in process for fuel burn. There was a workshop that was held in 2009. Then subsequently a survey was conducted of stakeholders. And that survey pointed out that there was a wish for more fuel efficient aircraft versions, which was overtaking the traditional emphasis of keeping maximum commonality across airline fleets. But then at the same time, there was concern by airlines about likely increased cost of new technology and possible changes in infrastructure. So based on that, the survey and based on the workshop, independent experts have done some preliminary work in terms of setting up some templates and a detailed review is planned in a couple of weeks, 25th to 27th of May. We expect that there will be a report establishing fuel burn technology goals for the midterm, 10-year goals, and the long-term, 20-year goals by next year. Similarly, there is an independent expert-led review for operational goals. That effort was started in the last CAPE cycle. The independent expert operational group reported their progress. They had done some preliminary work, and based on that preliminary work, they said the overall global civil ATM system goal should be to achieve an average of 95% operational efficiency by 2026. This work was very preliminary, so there was agreement and enthusiastic support from all the CAPE member states to continue this effort and issue a final report in the next few years, next couple of years. So basically, that's all I have in terms of the framework. We have the high-level IQA environmental goals. We have been working on global harmonization through standards and recommended practices for the last 30, 40 years. Status projection and trends, and that relates to modeling and trends assessment, quantifying where we are with respect to the goals. And then this exercise of setting medium-term and long-term goals, that fills the gap between the high-level IQA environmental goals and the standards and recommended practices that we have. So this provides a very useful input to the policymakers. We have the high-level goals set by the three environment goals. Then we have the GIEC goal of 2% annual improvement. But then we need individual pieces on how we get to that 2% goal, for example. So there's the technology piece, there's the operations piece, there's the alternative fuels piece, and then there's the market-based measures piece. And this will fill in, at least in terms of goals, two pieces of the puzzle, which is what are the aspirational goals for technology and operations, which can feed into setting new goals. So that's all I have. Thank you.